Is that light right there?
Okay.
Red light on all the way over.
Red light is on all the way over.
Red light means devil stop.
Right. Tasting, 1, 2, 3.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Let's make sure.
Amen.
1, 2, 3. Tasting, 1, 2. Is that right? Tasting, don't talk. There's it right there, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he?
Amen.
I sure am glad the Lord cares for us. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then Psalm chapter number 25, or 55, and verse number 22, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thank you for coming tonight and being with us in the house of the Lord. We had a good, safe trip up. And I really appreciate you praying for us. Lawrence prayed last night the dismissal prayer at Brother Mahan told him to dismiss us in prayer. And he said, Lord, keep them from the deer from them and them from the deer. And so he did. How many did we see on the side of the road? Several last night in two different places, and I sure hope they stay on the other side of the road, and I'll stay on this side, and we'll get along just fine. How many of you got that King James Bible? Wave that Bible just a little bit. Okay. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and if you're physically able to stand, I'd like for you to stand as I read about 7 verses of Scripture, and I'll be preaching from probably all of this chapter tonight, but I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He talks about the collection for the poor and the example at Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, our churches could not operate if God did not bestow the grace of God upon us.
Right.
We're saved by the grace of God. We live by the grace of God. When we come down to the end of life's journey, you and I that are saved, we're going to die by the grace of God.
Right.
And he'll be with us at that time. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty aboundeth unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. I like that, beyond their power. We need something beyond our power, and it is the power of God. And the Bible said, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. My Father, thank you for the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. It will not return unto thee void. And thank you, Lord, that we can hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Thank you, dear God, that by the grace of God, we can walk with you as I preached last night, as Enoch did. And Lord, I'm glad that you furnished the grace and the power that we need to live for you and love you and put you first in our heart and in our life. Bless this church, bless the pastor, bless his family, bless the church family. And Lord, I pray you'd supply every need, give them many souls for the labor. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me tonight with that fresh oil, that fresh touch, that fresh grace, and save that one that may be here tonight that's lost, undone, without Christ, headed toward a devil's hell. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the subject tonight, spiritual or scriptural giving. What the Bible says concerning our giving. Now this will help you if you will listen very carefully. What does the Bible say about giving? A lot of people have different opinions about giving. But Paul is talking about the collection of the poor here and the example of the Macedonian. And first of all, we find that they were willing of themselves. In verse number 3, for to the Bible said, their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Not many people are willing to give themselves to the Lord. Now this Bible teaches that you and I that are saved are to give our tithes and our offerings, right? Well, there's not many people, Brother Buddy, that's going to give their tithes and they're not going to give their offerings unless they give themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, Brother Donald, not many people are going to give God their time. They're not going to give God their talents. They're not going to give God their tithes unless, first of all, they give themselves to the Lord. Amen. Now, look at verse number 12 in the same chapter. The Bible said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not, is what the Bible said. And so God wants us to give, my friend, ourselves willingly to a holy and a righteous God. Now in chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians and verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful means hilarious. And the word hilarious means just jump up and down and have a spell and praise God with joy that you're saved by the grace of the Lord. Amen. And you surrendered your all to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're willing to give God his tithe, his time, and his talent, my friend. Because everything that we have is a gift from God. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Daniel said, my friend, that the very breath that we breathe is in the hand of God. Yes. And so, my friend, we are to surrender our all unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, our spirit belongs to God. Our body belongs to God. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and that price was the shed blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and let me show you what the Apostle Paul had to say. Oh, what a Savior, my friend. Paul said this in verse number 19. He talked about, he said, because the body is a temple. He asked several questions in this verse here. And he said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Did not you know that? Did not you know that? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, in verse number 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so my body belongs to God. And your body belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. My spirit belongs to God. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so you're not going to get people to giving in tithes or love offerings or mission money until that person surrenders their all unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you think the Bible said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's talking about everything you need for your flesh. That's talking about everything you need for your spirit. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must put him first in our hearts and in our lives.
Yes.
Amen. God is so good to us, isn't he? What a wonderful Savior we have. Now, they were willing of themselves to give. You know what that word willing means? Brother Buddy, I looked it up several weeks ago. They were willing. W-I-L-L-I-N-G. They were willing to give of themselves. That word willing has several different meanings to it. Number one, it means volunteer. Volunteer. I mean, here I am, Lord. You're not making me do this. You're not making me surrender. You want me to surrender. You want me to put you first in my heart and my life. So here I am. I voluntarily come to you. I voluntarily humble myself to you. I volunteer for you to take me and use me and mold me and make me into the servant you want me to be.
Amen.
Did you know something? Brother Mahan said that Jesus gave his all for us, and he did. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Brother Mahan said, he did that, and he wanted to do that. They didn't search all over heaven to see if they could find one that was willing to go. Jesus was willing to go, and Jesus, my friend, gave himself, and we are to give ourselves to him voluntarily.
Amen.
That's what it means. You volunteer. Volunteer. Pastor, what can I do? You say, well, I can't do much. Little as much when God is in it. I said little as much when God is in it.
Right.
You take everybody doing a little and a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there, and you got some strength. You got unity. You got, praise God, the power and the touch of God when everybody does their part and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Have you volunteered to do anything for the Lord? It also means self-chosen. Amen. When you got saved, you had a choice. When you was under conviction, you had a choice either to receive Christ or not to receive Christ. And I had a choice to receive Christ or not to receive Christ. I'm so glad that I chose to receive him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, in John 1:11 and verse 12. Woo! Ain't that a blessing from God? Self-willing, volunteer, self-willing. Here I am, Lord. Take everything I have. Take my time. Take my talents. Take my tithes. Just take my life and make it be a vessel that is fit for the master's use. Say amen. That ain't all that it means. It means something else. It means of own accord. Look at it again in verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Boy, it's good to have people that's willing to do anything the Lord wants them to do. It's willing to have people in the church that say, "Preacher, I volunteer. I'll vacuum the floor. I'll clean the restrooms. And preacher, I'll take out the garbage. And preacher, I'll mow the grass. And I'll make sure the porches are clean. And boy, the church is clean. Somebody's volunteered around here. The floor is clean and the pews are clean and everything is nice and everything is neat here in the Lord's house. Somebody volunteered to do that. Somebody said, I'll do it. Somebody said, I might not be in the spotlight. You might not be in the spotlight down here, but you're in the spotlight in heaven. Woo! I just thought about that, praise God. When you volunteer and you give your all to Jesus, I mean, a whole lot of people down here might not see it, and they might think that it's not important, but God is looking down, and God sees you, and you're in God's spotlight when you're volunteering to do something for God.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like it, don't you? How long has it been, Pastor? You don't have to answer now. How long has it been since somebody came up here and said, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do to be a help around here? I want to do something. Just give me something to do. I'll do it, preacher. You just tell me what I need to do, and I'll be willing to do it. Think about that. Amen. Without murmuring, grumbling, I'll do it, but I sure don't want to. That ain't going to get the job done. Amen. I just thought about a couple of verses of scripture. I'm going to give them to you. Found in Philippians chapter number 2. You probably want to get this. And he said in verse number 14, do all things, Paul said, without murmurings and without disputings. Amen. Don't grumble about it. Don't fuss about it. Just do what the Lord said in verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, when we volunteer, Brother Billy, to do something, when we are in one accord, when we just surrender all, then, my friend, God sees that and God honors that. We do it because we want to do it.
Yes.
Say amen. We want to do it. One fellow said, nobody makes me go to church. I want to go to church. And I do go to church because I want to go to church.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now it means something else. It means no one made them do it. No one made them do it. You know, children sometimes have to be made to do things, don't they? You have to make them clean their room. You have to make them pick up their dirty socks. You have to make them vacuum the floor. You have to make them do certain things. Well, God won't make us do it, but he'll make us wish we had. Say amen. My job on the farm, the big old two-story house with 12 boys and 2 girls, 14 my family, my job was to make sure, my job and my 2 younger brothers was to make sure that the wood box on the back porch was filled full of wood. We came in from school. Before we could run and play hide and go seek on the farm over 100 acres that Daddy had, make sure before dark that wood pile and that wood box on the back porch is filled full of wood. Of course, that was in the wintertime and the summertime. You mean y'all had a wood stove in the summertime? Sure, we had to have something to cook on. We didn't have no electric stove at that particular time. The only stove we had was a wood cook stove, and the hot water heater was on the side of it. How many remember that? Praise God, 4 of us do. Amen. That's right. And when I would come in from school, and my brother and I, and my other brother, when we would get the chore done, then everything was right, but sometimes we would fail to do it, and when Daddy got through with us, we wished we had. Amen. That's exactly right. That's what you call training to be obedient. What does the Bible say, parents, about training children? Proverbs 26 and verse, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
We train. God blessed us with two boys, and one of them is 43 now, the other one is 40. One of them getting ready to turn 44, he's getting old. It's like me. A little grandson come up to me here a few months back and said, "Papa, you know how old you are?" I said, "How old am I, son?" Grandson, he said, "Old as dirt." I guess I was. He's not but 8. I know who put him up to that. His mama did. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Now, wait a minute. It also means something else. Forward of mind. It means forward of mind. They were willing, in their mind, they were willing to do what God asked them to do. Is it Isaiah 26 and verse number 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And the devil tries to pollute our mind and get our mind off of spiritual things and get our mind on the things of the world and the flesh and the devil and rob us of spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I'm going to give you another good verse of scripture. Y'all like a scripture, don't you? I know you do because you eat it up. That's why I left to come up here and preach to you folk. You just eat it up. That's what you're supposed to do. Say amen right there, Brother Paul. Amen right there, Brother Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Boy, you ought to get this down. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that word sound in that verse of scripture means a disciplined mind, a controlled mind. And the devil will try to get us out of control and get us thinking the wrong things, ladies and gentlemen. Even in the house of God, the devil, while the singing is going on and while the preaching is going on, the devil will try to get you sidetracked and get your mind on things that don't have a thing in the world to do with the church house and the preaching house.
Right.
Say amen. And the preaching, the word of God. What about that maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5? He was a nude dude in a rude mood. Read about it. He wearing no clothes. He was as naked as Adam and Eve was before they ever seen in the book of Genesis chapter number 3. He was a wild man. No man could tame him. I mean, he would cut himself in there and bleed and lived in the cemetery. Cemeteries where dead folk live. Of course, he was dead spiritually. But I didn't want to live in no cemetery before I ever got saved. Did you? You said, them folk ain't going to hurt you. Yeah, but it's still spooky around there. Say amen. But the Bible said, when he got saved, God cast the demons out of him. They came and they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in his right mind.
That's right.
Listen, your mind, the devil, that's an idle mind is a workshop for the devil. And he'll try to put things in your mind and get you to worry about things that won't never ever happen. Amen. Praise God. We need to have the mind of the Lord, Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Well, what else does it mean? Looks like I'll have to continue this tomorrow night if I don't hurry up. Y'all ain't in no hurry, are you? I probably got farther to go than any of you, and that's okay. God's good, ain't he?
Amen.
It means forwardness of mind. It means readiness of mind. It means ready. It means willing. Think right. Get the mind in gear. Verse number 12, I want to read it to you again. Watch this now. The Bible said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that, and not according to that he hath not. Oh my, God is so good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Going in the right direction. And your mind needs to be in gear. and going in the right direction concerning your giving, concerning your giving and your going and your going. I get it out after a while. Say amen. Concerning, praise God. Amen. What's your mind on? The mind of Christ. They sacrificed. They gave. They gave more than they were able to give. Woo! That's right, folks. I'm telling you. They gave more than they were able to give. When I look and we keep a record of what we give to the Lord's work every year, and at the end of the year when I get the statement of what my wife and I gave, I said, how in the world could we afford to give that much? And God let us give because we was willing and put God first, and God let us give beyond our measure, beyond what we could do. Right. Amen. That's just God doing what God does. Right. Woo! Y'all ain't gonna shout, I will. You say, well, you preaching on giving, preacher. We can't shout on giving. Don't you tell me we can't. I preached a meeting in South Carolina several years ago. Nice preaching on giving, tithes and offerings. This young man sitting right over here, sitting about the second pew from the front there, he got up and started shouting right all over that building. I like to faint it. Nobody never shouted on me preaching on giving before. Another preacher friend of mine said, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I was preaching a revival meeting one night. He said, brother, we had probably over 100 people in that service, and I was preaching on giving. He said, just about everybody in there stood up and was praising God while I was preaching on giving. Woo! After service, that pastor told me, he said, I'll tell you why that man right there got up and was shouting the victory while you was giving. You were talking about how the God opens up the window of heaven, pours out a blessing down upon you. Amen. Now, he don't do that to tightwads and stingy skin flints. I hope it ain't no flints in here. I said that one night, and I got a family named Flints. Their last name is Flints. Amen. I said, I'm not talking about y'all now. Say amen. Y'all are good givers. Amen. He said, that man gives his tithes. That man gives special offering. That man gives missionary money. And he said, it's unreal how that God has opened up the windows of heaven and poured the blessing down upon him. Amen. You can't outgive God, can you? So you find scripture in giving. They were willing of themselves. Number two, it was the will of God for them to give. It's God's will to give. These lights here, y'all have a light bill every month. Who carries it down to the, do y'all mail it? Have they ever mailed it back to you and said, we're going to let y'all have it free this month? Oh, they never have? Well, they haven't me either. I mean, we want it. Amen. They get it, or you have no lights. Well, it takes money. Somebody's got to get to pay these lights. And somebody's got to pay the heat bill, the electric bill, the water bill. Amen. Somebody's got to help look after the man of God and his wife, family. You got missionaries that need support. The gospel is free, but it takes money to get it across the street. It takes money to get it across the sea. And that's where your tithes and your offerings and your special offerings comes in there. Amen. It's about 2 years after my wife and I got saved that I started tithing. And brother, I'm telling you, I'd never been taught on tithing. I'd never been taught for 2 years. And after about 2 years, I was taught that you're supposed to give your tithe, which is 10%. That's 10 cents out of a dollar, isn't it? Yeah. And give an offering. And so we started tithing. That's been 43 years plus ago. And God has never done anything except bless us. I mean, there have been some tight places, but I mean some tight places. And that's testing. When you sell out to God, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried to see if it's sincere and to see if your giving is genuine. That's right. Genuine. I got that one out, didn't I?
considering. I'll get that out after a while. He's good, so it's the will of God, isn't it? Let me give you something. Can I give you something? I'm going to give it to you anyway. I thought about a verse of scripture today. Found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Husbands are supposed to give themselves totally to their wife and love them and cherish them like Christ loves the church and cherisheth us. And the wife is supposed to be in subjection to her godly husband and give herself and surrender herself unto him. H-I-M, him. Amen. You'll have her. Somebody said, well, that's a 50-50, 50-50 thing in this marriage. But who told you that? I used to say the same thing. It's 100% and 100%. We're to give 100% to each other. Say amen. God gave his all to us, and we're to give our all to our help meet. Not mate, but meet. She's our help meet. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. God's good. Almost 50 years I'll be married to that little woman sitting right over there, and you can't see any gray hair in her head at all. You'll have to get real close to see any gray hair, and she don't dye it either. Say amen. I've been thinking about dyeing mine, but looked up and I said, I ain't got nothing to fool with. Leave it alone, praise God. Are you listening to me? You can disagree without being disagreeable. Have you men, a lot of times we're going to have to say, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. Hey, man, that makes you sleep better when you say, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't mean to say that. And some of you women, there's a lot of times you're going to have to say to your husband, I'm sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that at all. Please forgive me. And if he's loves you and he's going to forgive you, he's not going to say, well, don't ever let it happen again. It won't happen again until the next time. Say amen. How many times have you ever had to ask God to forgive you for saying something, doing something you shouldn't have done? Say amen. He don't disown us. He says, get it right. Amen. Get up and go again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you can't fall out of the hand of God. Brother Lester Roloff said, you may fall around in God's hand, but you'll never fall out of God's hand because we're sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, the Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And you're right. The devil can't break that seal. If he could break that seal, he'd get every one of God's children. But he can't do it.
Right.
Because the song that y'all sung, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 4 and verse number 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In 1 John 5 and verse number 4.
Amen.
Thank God for that book.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Brother, may he had something about the crowd. Brother, I tell you, I couldn't have had no more liberty or enjoyed preaching any more than I did last night if there'd have been 500 sitting in here. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't be enjoying the preaching no better than I'm enjoying it tonight. If it was 500 people sitting in here, I probably would have gotten more nervous. Amen. But I'm glad you're here. We need, for where two or three gathered, my name there, am I in the midst of them. We need the Word of God. That's why I preach the Word of God and give you the Word of God. It helps you and it helps me too. So it was the will of God for them to give. Look at verse number 5. And this they did,
not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I like that. Woo! The will of God. Here we are tonight. I'm an hour and 10 or 15 minutes away from home. Now I tell you, I'm a little bit tired when I get home, but oh, when I slept good last night. Had a sorry, stinking dream last night. Amen. You ever had a good dream? Raise your hand. If you have you ever had it? I've had a few good ones. Most of them I'll have one falling off the roof or something and wake up right before I hit the ground. But the will of God, the will of God, preaching the word of God, traveling across the country, pastoring the church, it gets tiresome. I mean, it gets tired after a while. But I want to tell you, brother, it's a joy to just be in the will of God.
Amen.
And I praise God for the privilege to be here tonight to preach to you folk. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You know what the word will means? W-I-L-L? That's a four-letter word, isn't it? You know what it means? A determination. Look it up. The word will means a determination. You know something, husband? We are determined by the grace of God. We're going to be the husband that would be pleasing in the sight of God. We're going to be the father that would be pleasing in the sight of God. We're going to be the Christian that would be pleasing in the sight of God. You wives ought to have a determination. I'm going to be the best wife that I possibly can by the grace of God. I'm going to be the best mother that I can. I'm going to be the best Christian that I can. I'm determined I'm going to be the best I can be in this life. For the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where's the determination at? It also means something else. This little old word, I love to look up words. It means a choice. It means a choice. You chose to come tonight, didn't you? Is there anybody in the building that you were made to come to church tonight? You were threatened to get a whooping if you didn't. How many know what a whooping is? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what it means, a good whooping. You chose to come. You chose Christ as your personal Savior. And you're going to choose to give your time and your tithes and your talents. It also means purpose. It means decree. It means desire. It means pleasure. God's will in giving His Son. Would you take your Bibles and look at verse number 9? Same chapter, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 9. Notice, if you will, please, what the Bible said. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? Poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Is that what the Bible said? It was the will of God for God to give His Son that we might have life and life more abundantly. Look in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. I'm hurrying right along now. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And the Bible said, because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus voluntarily gave His life on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved by the good grace of God. Are you volunteering to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have what? Holes. You ever seen a fox cross the road? Have you ever seen a fox cross the road? If you have, raise your hand. You have been driving down the road and you've seen a gray fox or a red fox cross the road. Raise your hand again. You know where they're headed? They're getting something to eat, or they already had something to eat and they're going back to the hole. Bible says the foxes have holes. Is that what the Bible said? And the Bible said, and the birds of the air have what? Nest. Nest.
We've got a birdhouse out in front of our yard in a little garden that my wife and I have out there. And we've got a beautiful bird box. It's a bluebird box. And guess what? I've never seen a robin go in it. Always bluebirds, isn't it? They go there every year in their nest. That's what the Bible said. Isn't this simple? Isn't this simple illustration, but it's biblical illustration. He said, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of their have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So he said for you and I, let's don't look back. In verse number 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Don't look back, friend. God's will in giving our all to him. Look in verse number 10 and verse number 11. I'm coming on down, getting hurt, getting all right, almost through now. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, verse 10 and 11. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. He says, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Hallelujah. God is good. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to give your time, your tithes, and your talents to the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, we don't have but a handful. I can't get all of y'all in my hand. You got more than a handful. Say amen. Amen. I got a friend of mine took a church in Pilot Mountain. It was him and his wife and three children. That's five, isn't it? And then there was only four people in that church. Four people. And God sent them a man of God down there 2 years ago. They was getting ready to sell the property. A beautiful church and 5 acres of land. And God sent them a pastor. And he's been working, knocking on doors, calling people. A young man just in his 30s. Young, 31, 32. And now they're averaging about 50 to 60 on Sunday morning for Sunday school. And this past Sunday, they had 80 people in preaching service. He didn't start off with 50 and 60. He didn't start off with 70. He started off with 9 people. Amen. With a determination. I'm giving God my tithes, my time, and my talent. And God has blessed him. Now, your pastor's not 23. He's not 33. I better shut up right there. And so he can't do what a man that's 29. I was 29 when I started pastoring Westside Baptist Church, and I'm 69 now. Isn't that something? I've come a long ways, ain't I? But you can help him. He can do. But you can help him because he needs your help. And I may preach on that tomorrow night. You be a good helper that's willing to help your man of God. And don't let everything fall on his shoulders. You do all that you can to take the burden off of this man as he reads the Bible and studies the Bible and preaches to you the Bible. Say amen. All right, I'm just about through. I've said that twice already. Amen. The scripture in giving is the title of the message. They were willing of themselves. It was the will of God. And then let me give you this. This is real deep. You got your dictionary? You don't need no dictionary. The third one is this. Giving works. Did y'all get that? Yeah. Giving works. Ain't that spelled W-O-R-K-S? Works. Well, giving works. You cannot give the Lord. You may try, but he'll show you that you don't have the power to outgive him. Giving works.
Absolutely giving works. Verse 13 and 14, the same chapter. For I mean not that others men be eased and ye burdened, but with an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. Amen. And the Bible says that there be no equality, or that there be equality. The word equality means equal, and it means likeness.
Paul said, because you have volunteered to give, then God has blessed those that you have given to, and those that you have given to are blessed. Now God has blessed you because you was a blessing to others.
Amen.
What Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, you have taken care of me. You have supplied every need that I have. And then because you have supplied my need, my Father is going to pour out the blessings of God down upon you, that you won't be able to receive it all, like he said in Malachi 3, verse number 10. It works, folks. I'm telling you, it works. There ain't no doubt about it. It works.
That would be more than enough for you and others as well. If they did what they could, that was all that God required of them. And he would bless them for their liberality. Now I want you to notice, if you will, in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, and verse number 35. Acts chapter 20. Y'all still with me, aren't you? You're listening real good.
Acts chapter 20 and verse number 25 or 35. Look what he said.
I have showed you all things,
how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Is that what the Bible says? And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to what?
Receive.
If you look up that word blessed in many places in the Bible, it means happy. Well, here it means happy plus something else, Brother Billy. It means, if you look it up, the word blessed there, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, means fortunate. It means well off. It means happy. And it means happier.
Amen.
How many of you are happy tonight? Y'all ever been camping or been around a camper or seen a camper, and when they get the camper set up, whether it be a tent or a RV or a tag-along camper, they'll put a sign outside, happy campers. Well, I told my wife, I said, we need to put a sign out in front of the church, happy Christians.
Amen.
And camping ought to be happy. It's a job to get everything set up, but once you get it set up, it's happy. When you take it down, you're not so happy. How many of you, you're happy, but seemingly you see some people that are happier than you are? Raise your hand. Well, here's what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He'd been with them for 3 years, and he's leaving now. He said, some of y'all won't never see my face no more. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, if you go ahead and give, you give with the right spirit, he said, you're going to be fortunate. You're going to be well off. You're going to be happy. And you're going to be happier. Praise God, I want to be just as happy as I can.
Amen.
If I mind God, I can be happy in the Lord. If you'll mind God, you'll be happy in the Lord. I'll give you one more verse, just about through. Look in your Bibles in the book of Luke chapter 6. Verse number 38. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. How much? Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. My cup runneth over. You know what happens when your cup runs over? You start drinking from the saucer. Why didn't you drink from the saucer? Because your cup overflowed. God said, if you'll put me first, give you time, give you tithes, and give you talents, he said, I'll let your cup run over down in your saucer. Praise God. Sometimes what I'm getting ready to tell you works and sometimes it don't. I've seen it work. Then I've seen it not work. You go to a place where and you order ice cream and you want the dip ice cream. You know what I'm talking about? You want the kind that they dip it out and you put it on a cone. And I always say, when the lady or whoever it is that starts dipping out the ice cream to put it on the cone, I say, do you give a good helping? You know what a helping is, don't you? Do you really give a mother's worth? Do you really give a good cone of ice cream? She says, I try my best to, and most time, Brother Buddy, she'll just keep rolling that thing. She'll keep, I'm telling you, I said, nah, you're doing good. You are really doing good. She'll put that thing down, something looks like a baseball sitting on top of it. But sometimes I won't pay no attention to you. But God always pays attention to us. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you faithful? Do you really love the Lord? Do you really love the man of God? Do you really love the church? You don't want to miss tomorrow night. I got a message that blesses me. I preach it about 3 times, and it helps me every time I preach it. And if mine don't help me, how do I expect it to help anybody else? Say amen. You don't want to miss tomorrow night. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. God showed me this morning. I mean, God showed me this morning, and now God could change my mind. He could change my mind. But if he don't change my mind, I'm going to preach tomorrow night. It's going to help you. I feel like you got some help tonight. Yes. I know you did if you love the Bible, because I ain't give you my opinions. I give you the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. I'm through. Sister, would you come back to the piano, please? We'll get an invitation tonight. Everybody standing this able, praise God, he's good to us, isn't he? Man, I've enjoyed preaching these nights. Our heads are bowed, the eyes are closed, and nobody's looking on. And how many say, Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. Preacher, if I was to die in the next 5 minutes, I know that heaven is my home. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I know I'm saved. Would you do it? All over the building. Thank you very much. Raise those hands again if you know you're saved. Real high if you know you're saved. Okay, thank you. You may take it out. How many say, Preacher, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, Preacher, I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart tonight about surrendering my all to Jesus. Would you raise your hand right now? Be honest. God bless you, ma'am. Is there one more? Anybody? Preacher, I'm not sold out to God. I am not sold out to God, and I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now? Preacher, there's some things God showed me tonight that I'm not doing that I should do. Would you raise your hand? Okay, sister, I'm going to pray now. I want you to play there, if you will. My Father, thank you for the privilege to preach tonight. I've enjoyed preaching. And these dear people have sure act like they have enjoyed the preaching. Lord, I'm glad for that liberty. I'm glad, dear Father, the Word of God will never, ever return unto thee void, but it will do that and accomplish that you meant for it to do. Tonight, dear Lord, this one that raised their hand signifying that you spoke to their heart tonight about some things they need to get right. And I pray for others, Lord, that they would come and surrender their all to Jesus tonight. Lord, this could be the message that turns this church around.
that gets this church on fire for God and gets these dear people out in the highways and out in the hedges doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ and go beyond their power, depending on your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, I want you to go ahead and start playing.